Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
A lot of questions surrounding this Bucks team, specifically Chris Middleton, I guess Malcolm Brogdon, and I guess Brooke Lopez, and maybe even Nico Mirotic, and I suppose you can throw the future of Giannis in there. This, I think, might have been their best chance to do it in the next 5 years. We're going to find that out. We just have no idea what this team is going to look like come the middle of July. Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks podcast, founder of the Great Brew Hoop, here to help break this down. And I just, we're having you on, Frank, one, because you're a great guy and we like you. But also, there's just, it's complicated. A lot of this is complicated and there's a lot of questions. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys, I've had my cooling off period here since the Game 6 loss. So I know, Bart, we were texting some of our misery yesterday. But, onwards and upwards. The offseason is here a little sooner than we thought. But as you guys said, no real opportunity for the Bucks to sit back and wait and ponder their or lick their wounds here. Obviously, there's a lot of big decisions to make, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that for the next couple months.
You know, a couple of minutes ago, before we get into the cap and all that, Bart and I were talking about, is Milwaukee still a place? If Milwaukee's not a place they can't get the top free agents, what are we even doing here? Do you think Milwaukee is still that place? Has it come? Because 5 years ago, definitely not. Maybe 2 years ago, not. But I think some of that culture has changed a little bit. Where the Bucks, maybe Kevin Durant's not going to sign here, but I still think they can get some pretty good free agents to come here.
I think if you look at the broad history of free agency, with the exception of really those top level guys, there's a huge aspect of free agency that is sort of this winner's curse idea, right? Like, congratulations, you were the highest bidder on a guy who nobody else wanted to pay that amount of money. That's typically what free agency comes down to, right? And typically, the way that kind of life cycle of rosters work in the NBA is, you kind of build a young team. You've got maybe a star on before his first big contract, or like Giannis, is underpaid even on his first big contract. And that's your opportunity to have some cap space, maybe go out and sign some guys, make some trades, and try to, kind of build that team around him. And then now, you kind of then reach an inflection point where this is sort of like your team, and you don't have a lot of flexibility to go out every summer and just go try to find some star guy, right? And that, unfortunately, that's when you're usually a really good team and you're actually appealing. So having cap space when you're actually good is more valuable, especially if you're a team like the Bucks. But, it's like Danny Ainge, I think, has always said, he never... They have had cap space at times, but they never kind of chase cap space over kind of the bird in the hand, because when he trades for players, like, he knows what he's getting. And if you just are built saying, let's try to be flexible a year or two from now, what is that going to mean? Are you going to be chasing the next version of a max contract for Chris Middleton, which some people don't think he's worth that now, right?
So
unless you have an angle on a KD or a Kawhi, I think you have to be really realistic about what free agency is and what it isn't. And obviously, when you're a team like the Bucks that I think can compete for a championship with what they have now, then you have to kind of really weigh what your real trade-offs are.
So if the Bucks decided, because from my understanding is that they can max Middleton, but if they wanted to max another guy like one of the big fish, or even let's even say Jimmy Butler or Clay or whoever. Still big fish. If they wanted to get one of those guys, is that even possible?
It's not just a matter of saying, oh, sorry, Nico, or sorry, Malcolm. Like, we'll take one Klay Thompson and one Chris Middleton, and let's go with that group, right? You'd have to do more than just say, let's not sign Chris Middleton to go after one of those types of guys. And, again, like, all those guys. Klay, I don't see Klay Thompson leaving, right? He's publicly joked about how happy he was that he wasn't drafted by the Bucks, right?
Right.
He's won championships. I don't think he's looking to move to the Midwest to chase a title with Giannis. Jimmy Butler, who knows? He's 2 years older than Chris Middleton, for reference. Jimmy obviously thinks he's the best player on whatever team he's on typically. So maybe he looks at Giannis as a good complimentary piece to him. And obviously he has some Milwaukee connections. So I think, you know, maybe if you offer him a full max, I don't know how many teams are going to do that just given his age and some of the baggage.
But if the Bucks wanted to offer him a full max, like, they can't just do that straight up, right? They have to like renounce half their team.
If you were offering that on day one, you'd be saying, hey, Chris, like, can you go hang out for a while we try to chase these other guys, right? And that's why I like the Clippers traded Tobias Harris, because they knew that they wanted to go chase. They had a chance at a guy like Kawhi, right? So they didn't want to have to tell Tobias Harris, hey, can you go chill for a while and not sign with another team while we try to get a better player than you? And so they said, you know, we'll just try to trade you. But obviously they had a much more realistic chance at getting like Kawhi, for instance, than a team like the Bucks do. So it's like, do you kind of like get rid of a bunch of guys or basically commit to losing, you know, a big part of your rotation to even have the chance to have that conversation, right? And maybe there's some probability of getting a guy like Kawhi or KD that you would be okay doing that. But certainly for Jimmy Butler, I'm not punting half my roster to get a guy who may not even be a better long-term piece, especially given his age and some of the attitude stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're so right at Jimmy Butler. Yeah, Butler would – I mean, I like Jimmy Buckets. I like him. I like him as a player. But he'd come here and he'd say, well, you know what? Giannis, a nice number two piece next to me. That's for sure. You know, he would think of himself as the number one option, Giannis number two.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you know, I think Joel Embiid's a fantastic player. You know, the Sixers just finished well behind the Bucks with not just Joel Embiid, but, you know, they obviously acquired Jimmy early in the season. They also had Harris. They also had Ben Simmons, right? I mean, you know, again, I think it's sort of – I think the thing I find surprising is, you know, I mean, as a Bucks fan, I mean, I've been waiting 30 years to have a team as good as this. And so I understand if people want to ask the question of like, hey, can you get like a second superstar for Giannis? I think that's obviously something that everybody wants to think. Is that possible, right? Is that a thing that can happen? But by the same token, it's like, you know, it seems like I'm surprised how many people are sort of like, well, just, you know, let's kick half these guys to the curb to maybe get a guy that maybe really isn't any better than Chris Middleton long term. And again, I think like KD, Kawhi, I think that's just pipe dream stuff at this point. You know, I don't think we've seen any indication that those guys are interested in coming to Milwaukee, and I think that's more circumstance of what those guys specifically are looking for more than some sort of insult to the city of Milwaukee. So I think it just leaves the Bucks obviously in a spot where the most obvious path to, you know, what are you trying to do? You're trying to compete for championships and thereby convince Giannis to stay, right? And the next year is obviously critical for that. So, I mean, there's a pretty straightforward path to keeping the current roster, which obviously we can talk about. And there's not a very straightforward path to, you know, dramatically improving on the current roster or, you know, upgrading from Chris Middleton. Just because, credit to Chris, there aren't that many guys in free agency who are, I think, clear upgrades to him and guys who would want to be here.
What would you have to do, Frank Madden, Lockdown Bucks podcast, if Middleton decided to go somewhere else or the Bucks decided they want to move on from him? Some of the conversation is, well, they can still go pick one of the, you know, next tier of guys like a Bogdanovich or Harrison Barnes or Terrence Ross. I mean, I don't think these guys are better than Middleton. And then, well, you assume that Brogdon's going to step up. You sign him, he plays better. Sterling Brown and DiVincenzo. And I feel like if you're going to do that, I mean, I'd just rather keep Middleton. Can you lose Middleton and find a team without signing one of the big free agents that's better than the team you have now? I think that's the question.
I mean, I think if your idea of upgrading your number two is by getting worse players, I don't think that's really a valid strategy, right? I mean, again, like, you hope that guys like DiVincenzo and Sterling Brown and these other guys kind of grow into bigger roles next year, right? And I think certainly there are likely scenarios where those guys are going to have more of an opportunity and hopefully be healthy in Dante's case. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, if people's idea of you know, moving on from Chris is, you know, Bojan Bogdanovic, having to spend $20 million on him, you know, for a guy who's 2 years older and literally doesn't pass and doesn't defend as well as Chris. I mean, again, like, I think there's a lot of grass is greener sort of effect taking place, right? And I understand, like, when you have a team like the Bucks that's been as good as the Bucks, like, you want to think, like, hey, people want to come here. How do we leverage that? But, again, free agency is really hard. And in the NBA, again, it's tends to be, it's really good if you can get a max guy who's worth more than what you can pay him. And it's really hard if you're trying to go after anybody else. And I think certainly the Bucks, you know, Brook Lopez, great example. You got him on a bargain deal, but it's really hard to kind of find those deals. I mean, that you know, we're talking about this all season. That might have been the best free agent signing in Bucks history. And again, but if you're having to kind of keep guys who are established, you know, you tend to pay a premium. And again, that's sort of just the economics of the NBA. The superstars get underpaid because they have the max. The young guys get underpaid because they're on rookie contracts, and kind of all the other kind of money. It's the kind of the toothpaste tube just sort of squeezes to these guys who are free agents in their late 20s. And obviously Chris and to a lesser extent Malcolm are kind of in that camp. And, you know, again, you kind of have to make a decision. You know, do you want to compete with this group, or do you want to throw caution to wind and try to piece together a roster without those guys? And obviously, my guess is you're not going to be able to replace those guys if you do take that second round.
Lopez wants to stay here. I asked him in Toronto, and you know, he could have said, well, I'm going to go see what the offseason. He said, no, he wants to stay. He likes the building process. He likes what's going on here. He likes the culture. But what would it take? Can you tell us about that mid-level exception that we hear about and what the price? Because he's obviously not coming back for $3 million.
Yeah, I think the most straightforward path to maintaining kind of the most flexibility this summer is kind of doing a couple of things, right? So, unfortunately, Mirotić, obviously, you know, and again, I hate to base any sort of judgment on a player on like one series, because by definition, these series are small samples, especially for a guy who's a streaky shooter. But obviously, Mirotić was kind of a luxury, right? I mean, they have the best record in the league without him. So let's just assume they decide, all right, you know, Nico, sorry, you play the position of our best player. We've got, you know, DJ or Sam's expiring. We obviously want to bring back Brook. You say, okay, Nico, you're not coming back. Nice having you. If you do that, you can create enough space to have around $10 million in cap room, right? Which is about the same as the mid-level exception for non-tax teams. But that's important because if you can use that money on Brook instead of having to give him the non-tax mid-level, you avoid having to hard cap yourself. And again, I don't want to get too far into like kind of the cap minutia, but what you can
do it. Because I'm lost.
So what you could do is you could,
or at least explain it to how we can understand.
Yeah, so you can give Brook, let's say, $10 million a year, right? And again, figure out how long you want to give him a contract and whatever, right? That's a separate discussion. But give him maybe a salary starting at $10 million a year. You would then still have the room mid-level exception, which is a smaller number. It's about $5 million a year. You're going to have to buy out Hill to make kind of any of this work. So you lose Hill, you pay him $1 million, so you don't have to pay his $18 million salary in books. But you could re-sign him, and you have a room mid-level exception, so you could offer that to him, or you could go after some other guys on the free agent market is sort of like bench depth guys, right, to try to replace Hill, who obviously was very good in the playoffs. So that kind of takes care of those guys. And obviously then the big question is, you know, what are you doing with Middleton and Brogdon? And again, since those guys are bird free agents, you know, you have the ability to go over the tax to sign them. And if you didn't use the mid-level exception, the non-tax mid-level exception to sign Lopez, you can then go out and basically you're not going to be in a position where you're hard capped. You're not going to be in a position where a team could, you know, give Malcolm some stupid number and knowing that the Bucks might not be able to match it. So I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. And obviously then you can debate what, you know, what is Chris Middleton worth? What is Malcolm Brogdon worth? But you at least kind of control your own destiny. And again, I think in all likelihood, you know, Chris probably is going to have more or less the parameters of a deal worked out with the Bucks probably on, you know, whatever, June 30th at 6:01 p.m. Eastern, when the new free agents cycle starts. So I think Chris probably gets knocked out early. I'm guessing they'll probably have a good idea of what they want to do with Brook. And then probably the big question is just going to be Malcolm, given that he's a restricted free agent and you have leverage with that. And so you obviously don't want to just offer him a huge number, and you'd rather kind of maybe sit back a little bit, maybe give him a respectable offer in like the mid-teens, but then see if anybody can kind of beat that. And then obviously you may have a difficult decision if somebody comes out with a huge number for him. But again, I think there's a path to keeping Middleton, Brogdon, Lopez, either Hill, or having some money to you know, basically replace Hill. And, you know, again, then obviously like Brogdon may be a little bit more tricky given the restricted free agency stuff, but you always have the option to keep him. So again, you'd lose Mirotić in that scenario, but you got Wilson laying around, hopefully ready for a bigger role. And, you know, I mean, fundamentally, I think this is about Giannis improving significantly, right? And hopefully he has another leap that he can make, even if it's not a regular season leap. I mean, it's hard to, you know, kind of make a leap from being MVP, but in the playoffs, obviously, you know, he didn't play the way he wanted in that last series. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a 60-win team and you were damn close, you know, a few things go a different way in that last series, you go to the NBA Finals, I think that's a pretty good place to be. And obviously, again, I think the two goals right now are compete for championships and keep Giannis happy and make sure Giannis wants to stay. So, you know, again, maybe there's some more exotic things people want to do. But I think in terms of, you know, reality, things confined to reality, I mean, I think that's probably the most straightforward, least risk approach. And again, there's always trade-offs, right? Paying guys a lot of money for long-term contracts, but that's also just sort of the way the NBA life cycle of kind of teams and salary structures work.
Do you think it will take the max to get Middleton?
Probably close to that, yeah. I mean, I think I would certainly not want to go 5 years. I wouldn't want to go 5 years on Brogdon either, I think, with some of the foot stuff. More so his other foot than the one he just hurt. But I think there are definite arguments for giving both those guys less than the full years. Now, can you do less than 4 years? I don't know, right? I mean, I think those guys probably want four-year deals, and especially Chris. So you may not be able to do better than a four-year deal close to the max. But, you know, again, this is the challenge of free agency. How do you get really good players at good value? And unfortunately, unless you kind of find those diamonds in the rough, like a Brooke Lopez, you generally don't find guys in their, you know, late 20s who suddenly get significantly better that you sign for a lot less than what they were worth.
It's interesting stuff. We'll be bugging you again soon. Frank Madden, appreciate the time as always. F Madden NBA on Twitter. We'll talk again, bud. Thanks for the help.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, thanks, guys.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.